Welcome to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box, CKDJ's longest running show. As we continue now, my name is Greg Avgaropoulos. I'm joined by Mr. Josh McGrath-Sagan, and we have a guest today. Josh, you want to introduce our guest, please?
Yes. So a lot of you might know him. He's known for his trick shots. He's known as a local hooper here in Ottawa and a pioneer to helping the next generation get up. The man himself, the Moroccan Mamba, Farouk. Farouk, how are you doing today, my man?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Thanks for joining, bro.
My pleasure.
Appreciate that.
All right, so we're gonna start it off here now, Farouk. For first question for you, we want to know how your upbringing and stuff. So how did you get into basketball? And were you originally from here? Were you from Morocco, or how did that end up happening?
Yeah. So me, I was born in Canada, you know, but all my family members are Moroccan. But yeah, I was born in Canada. I grew up in Gatineau. I was actually born in Gatineau. You know, I wasn't even born in Ottawa, but yeah, I grew up in Gatineau. And I started playing basketball when I was 6 years old. So I had a cousin. I have a cousin who's into basketball. He used to play for the Carleton Ravens. Now he plays overseas. He's the one that first introduced me to basketball, you know. So remember when I was 6 years old, he told me, come, let's go hoop. And my dad just bought me shoes for my birthday. It was winter time, you know. So when we started loving the game, started going to the YMCA downtown every weekend. And yeah, since I was a kid, one thing my brothers and my cousins told me to do was play against the older guys. So since I was a little kid, I was playing against 30-year-olds. I was 10 years old, 4'10", playing against 30-year-olds. And I think that's where my creativity came through. Just just trying to do stuff where they couldn't block or they couldn't they couldn't guess what I was going to do. So I think that's where my creativity came through since I was a kid, you know?
Nice.
Just trying to practice random stuff.
And so what program did you start playing basketball with? So there's lots of programs within Ottawa, Gloucester, Ottawa Shooting Stars, stuff like that. So what program was the one that kind of you played with the most?
I never played competitive.
Okay.
So I just only played high school basketball.
Okay.
So I'll just train every day. I'll train, go hoop at the YMCA, then just play high school basketball. So I went to Glebe. So at first I went to Fisher Middle School, played there. Then I went to Glebe, played there until grade 11. Then I switched to Notre Dame for my last year. Then we ended up winning the city finals. We went to OFSA. We lost in the finals, so we got the silver, so that's still good. But yeah, I just never played competitive, just always played high school.
Nice,
The opportunity to.
So how did you, was it you or did somebody else give you the name, the Moroccan Mamba? How did you come up with that, or did somebody else do it?
No, it was definitely someone else. I'm not that creative with the name, but yeah, it was someone else.
We're
yeah.
not creative either, don't worry about it.
No, it was actually my, I don't know if you guys know, but he's an announcer in Ottawa, Victor.
I know Victor, yeah.
Yeah, Victor, yeah, he was calling my cousin that. And, my cousin never claimed the nickname, you know? So, I asked him, yo, you good if I take it? But, yeah, do your thing. So, 6 years ago, I asked him. He's like, yeah, do your thing. And I've been going by it. So, shout out to Victor, my cousin, for the Moroccan moment, you know?
Yeah, that's sick.
I claim it now. It's mine.
So, what was the offset experience like for you? You never playing competitive basketball. So, this would be, your first, I guess, tournament style where it's, very competitive, very high level. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, it was good. Actually, no, that year, I forgot. That year, I was playing, it was weird. I was playing, with a prep team.
Okay.
But I didn't go to the school, so I had, opportunities to play against, teams in Toronto, Central Tech. I don't know if you guys know them.
Yeah, or so were you playing with the CTA program?
No, it was a different one. It was, a new one. It was, basically guys from the Bahamas.
Okay.
That
oh,
came
yeah.
to Ottawa.
Okay, yeah.
You know, you heard
I
him?
Know them, yeah.
Yeah, Victor, Christian.
I used to play with against them in pickup.
Oh, yeah, Troy.
Yeah, I know Troy.
Darren,
and all, that.
All those guys. Yeah, so I basically played with them. I was playing with
oh,
them,
cool.
and we went to Toronto. We're playing against these high-level hoopers, Elijah Fisher, Jacoby, all these guys. They're playing, D1 now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, I had that experience. And then a few months later, we went to OFSA, with my actual school. And, that experience was fun, you know? It was, a lot of, competitive basketball, especially, outside of Ottawa. People play a lot tougher, and the refs don't call it.
Yeah.
So, but I kind of got used to it, you know, with the prep school. With the prep team, but it also was fun. I wish everyone could go. You just go with your friends, 12 of your teammates. You guys have a hotel room, different hotel rooms. You guys are just cracking jokes, you know, having fun.
Yep.
Then you go play the game. Us were winning, so it was even better, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Remember, every single game, we're down 6 points, 2 minutes left. We just end up coming back, so it was a fun experience.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
So how did what would you say your favorite part about being like in a high school basketball team as opposed to being in like a league or anything like that? What was your favorite part about playing on a basketball team in high school instead of doing it in like a more competitive site?
Like, high school is basically all your friends, right? It's like you're just at school, you see them every day, you're chilling at lunch, and you end up going playing basketball with them. You already have that, like, chemistry. I never got the chance to play, like, you know, competitive, so, like, I can't compare it. But, like, playing school is pretty fun. You're playing with your boys, you know?
And then I'm sure that you had a few offers and stuff to play at the next level, like CIS or OCAA. So what was the decision-making behind not choosing that route? So now we were just talking before, and you were saying that you might come to Algonquin and play, but what made you not do it earlier? Because you definitely have the talent.
Yes. So I had two offers. I had a few, but, like, two actually, like, set offers. Because in grade 12, I wasn't too sure, you know?
Yeah.
But I had one at Fanshawe.
Okay.
That's in London, Ontario. Mm-hmm. That's where we're playing, in OFSA, you know? That's where we had the games and the coach seen us. Then I had one at Thetford. Like, that was, like, the most ideal one that I was going to go to, Thetford College.
Yeah.
The Cégep and, like, Thetford Mines, whatever. That one's good. Like, they have, like, a lot of like, ex-NBA players, like, that went there. Like, the guy from Toronto, I forgot his name. The Montreal guy?
Oh, Chris Boucher.
Yeah, Chris Boucher. Then they have some other people. But, yeah, then they're solid. But I was going to go, like, Thetford. Like, I had a plan. But it was, like, prior to, like, make my decision, like, 2 months prior, like, I started Merak Mamba. Then me, I'm like, okay, I don't know if I want to go to school this year. So I just ended up, like, taking a break and trying to focus on my Instagram. And I think, like, I took the right choice because 8 months later, like, COVID happened. I wouldn't have been able to play.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you know, I try to focus on, like, my passion, something I really like.
Did you always want to play, like college basketball? Or, like, did you ever want to maybe try to take the next step and try to train hard and get to the NBA? Or, like, what was your end goal when you started playing basketball?
Yeah, when I was a kid, like, you know, everyone has NBA dreams. So when I was a kid, I was always, like, training every week. I'd go watch a lot of you training videos, write down, go to the Y, train. But after, like, grade 11, like, you know, I'm like, okay, like, I could play pro, but not NBA realistically. So, the last 2 years, I was just, like, I've just been focusing on like, the Merak Mamba thing. So I haven't been thinking about going to the league, pro or anything. But this past year, I've been thinking a lot, and I'm probably going to, like, try to play like OCAA next year, Algonquin. Then after that, like, most likely try to play pro. I think it's doable, you know, especially with the platform. So yeah, like, that's a goal of mine now. Like, you know, I'm more grown now. So like, I have like,
For sure. I mean, you have the life experience now, so it definitely helps. Would you try and go, is there a certain place overseas that you'd want to go to, or would you try and stay in Canada and play CEBL, or what's kind of the plan there?
No, I'd go like, I don't think I'd play in Canada. I think I'd just go overseas anywhere. Like, you know, like, Amsterdam, Belarus, Germany. I don't mind. Anyway, like, you know, you're there for a year, you're experiencing a new culture. Yeah, I like that. So anywhere I get the opportunity to, I'll go. Japan, anywhere, you know, I don't mind.
That'd be cool.
So if you got so let's say you do get presented with the opportunity, like, obviously you say it now and, like, do you think, oh yeah, that'd be cool. But if, let's say you would get an offer from someone like Germany or Italy, anywhere, someone like that, somewhere in Europe or anywhere like that, do you think when you get the offer, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely going? Or, like, do you think you would definitely do it? Or would you be like, I don't know? Because, like, you've never, obviously, you've lived here your whole life, so.
No, I'd definitely do it. I'd definitely do it.
You think straight away?
Yeah, just because I don't want to go, like, 8 years, in, like, 8 years and regret it.
Yeah,
like,
true,
I think
true.
Even just 1 year of, like, playing pro experience is, like, it'll bring a lot of good memories, a lot of good lessons, and, like, you have like, it's just a good thing. You know, I don't want to regret it, like, 10 years down the line and say, I had an opportunity, I didn't play. I really want to play.
Yeah, and I mean, also, just help him get his foot in the door. And then, let's say, for whatever reason, didn't work out in Germany, any other country would be like, hey, we can take him in. So just getting your foot in the door on the pro scene would definitely be
And you're credible. Huge. You come back, you want to keep doing stuff like basketball. You want to be a coach. You want to be a trainer. Like, you're super credible. Especially me, like last year, the past 2 years, I've been able to, like, if I ever wanted to get to the training scene, because me, that's something I might want to do, like, training kids or, like, adults or whatever. I think, like, I'm very credible for it because I was able to train with last year Phil Handy. You know Phil Handy?
Yep. Lakers legend.
Yeah, yeah. So I was at the Mamba Rec Gym. Or no, not the Mamba. I was at the Sports Academy. They changed the name. It used to be Mamba Gym. I was at the Sports Academy gym last year with, like, a few influencers, like, my friends, you know? And
he was in Ottawa?
No, this is a sports academy in Los Angeles last summer. Yeah, so we went there, we trained with him. He trained us. He called me smooth as hell. So, you know,
nice.
That's a big compliment. Yeah. Him, also Jayla. Every time I go down to LA, I train with him, do some stuff with him, Jayla. Dribble too much. So, I have a lot of experience from these guys, you know,
Yeah, because you played in an influencer, like, classic 1 year. Like, White Iverson was there and stuff right?
Yeah, that was 3 years ago. That was, like, my first big thing.
Yeah, I remember seeing that video. I was like,
that was all luck.
Dang. I was like, dang. I was like, this guy, like, made it.
How did that happen?
That was all luck.
Did you get a call or something?
No, like, that was all luck. I went to New York for, I just went to New York, you know, to try to connect and just for fun. Then after that, what's his name? Cash Nasty and T-Jazz. I knew they were having an event, like, for Reebok in Brooklyn. So I hit up two of my friends. One of them used to do videos, too. Like, he used to do some trick shot videos. And I hit up my other friend. I'm like, yeah, you guys, should I go? So I ended up going. Like, I was not supposed to play. I was just supposed to go watch. Then one of the guys, his name is For The Kill, some, like, legend in, like, the Bronx, just randomly seen me. And he needed one more player because he didn't want to play too much. He came to me. He's like, you want to play? I'm like, yeah, yeah. What are the odds, you know? Went to the back. They gave me a jersey. Gave me shorts. They gave me shoes. When I ended up playing. Went to the finals.
Yeah.
Lost to White Iversons. Yo, this guy. Every time I play him, this guy always has, like, some crossovers or something. Every time I play him, he gets better.
Yeah,
I guess.
He's smooth.
Were you big on social media at this time or no?
Was
this
I had a 20K on Instagram.
Okay, so
and like that was pretty. Yeah, that was good. Yeah, especially. Yeah. But also it was like, but 20K. But also it wasn't like, it was like I was getting posted a lot at that time.
Yeah.
Because during that time I was like, that was October, and like during that month of July, August, September, I was on like basically like overtime, House of Highlights, Sports Center, like every other week, you know. So it was like. People recognized me over there, even though it was only 20K.
So I have a question. Since we're talking about playing like YouTube Hoopers and stuff, would you ever be interested in trying to set up a game against like K Showtime and his crew or anything like that? Like, are you trying to get more into the YouTube hoop scene or no?
I was, but now I'm just like trying to like do the business side like of what I started. But also, I did play them last year.
You
guys remember the Cam Wilder event?
Yeah,
I was playing in that.
Oh damn!
I was on Cam Wilder's team. Yeah, so it was a tough game, but I might go this week and actually see MK.
I remember that.
Yeah, you remember?
I remember that. Yes, I remember watching that video, and I'm like, I was like, why is Farouk on that team? Because I was like, Cam Wilder's boys are supposed to be there. I was like, what happened?
The USA
to them?
Guys. Yeah, I'm like, because I like K Showtime, but like, you know what I mean? We have like not a feud, but we just. You know, we're not on good terms like that.
Yeah.
But MK is a good guy.
I get it, not gonna lie.
Yeah, yeah. But like, I remember Cam was coming, so I'm like, oh, yo, can I be on your team? He's like, yeah, yeah, for sure. Boom, King. Yo, it was crazy. Like, there was no space on the court. It was like maybe 1,000 people.
The court's always crowded.
There are people, like, I couldn't drive in. It was like 5-on-5, and there are people at the free throw line. Like, and I remember the first possession, I drove in. Boom, the guy fouls me. I turn around, some random guy from the stands starts grabbing my head. So, man, I come, what? I push him away. Yeah, I'm like, I push him over there. I'm like, yeah, this is not my type of scene, you know? I don't like this type of scene. Yeah. Especially, like, we're the enemy, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
We're not the favorites, so.
Not the home crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it nerve-wracking going into play, like, a bunch of with all those people around?
Nah, it would have been more fun if there was more space on the court. And it was because other than that, it was like, you can't do much, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember watching that video. Yeah.
It was a good experience, though.
Yeah, like that'd definitely be fun.
Yeah.
Seems like a good time.
Are those guys actually cool in real life? Those YouTube guys, are they cool in real life or no?
Yeah, yeah. Those guys.
You don't have to hold back if you don't want
to. Nah, those guys specifically are, yeah. Like, MK, I like him. He's a real guy.
Yeah.
Who else was there? Like, Frost, you know Frost? Yeah, like, Frosty. That too? Yeah, like, yo, like online, you know, they're good at doing what they do. But, yo, I remember in person, he was like, yo, big fan. I was watching you. I was in junior college. You want your post on YouTube. This is, like, they're all good people. You know, K Showtime, too. But he has to act. He has to do his thing.
Yeah, yeah. He has his brand.
But he's smart, you know?
Like, yeah.
That's one thing I didn't realize before. It's like, I thought it was, like, that's how he was. But it's like.
Yeah. So have you ever matched up against, Hezygod?
No, I never. Right? I never met him.
That would have been cool. I'd love to see you two play because you two have both are very shifty guys. Yeah. So, like, it'd be a really fun matchup.
These guys are shifty. Like, only people I've matched up with, like, it was White Iverson. I didn't even play T-Jazz because White Iverson ended up beating him.
Yeah.
But White Iverson, I played him multiple times. Chris Staples, like, who else? A lot of different guys that, like, I don't remember too well. But, yeah. Because I'll go to the JLA runs, the influencer runs, and I'll be there.
All right, so we have to throw it to a break because we're a bit over time. But when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We're going to pick up this conversation. So stay tuned, everybody, after these quick few messages.
The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to The Press Box. I'm Greg Avgaropoulos, joined by Josh McGrath-Sagan and Farouk, the Moroccan Mamba. Thank you for joining us once again. Josh, do you have anything you want to start with in this next segment?
Yeah, so you said you were hooping with, like, J-Law, all those guys. So how'd that begin? Like, how'd that connection start?
We're just following each other on Instagram, and, like, whenever I'd go down to L.A., I was also with one of my friends. You heard of Soph videos?
Yeah, the guy, he does the mini hoop, right?
Yeah, that guy, yeah. So that guy's, like, very close friend of mine, you know? So every time we'd go to L.A., we'd go together, and we just, like, just hit up our, like, the people we know over there. So, like, I'd go to L.A., message J-Law, text him, like, hey, I'm in L.A., boom, he's like, all right, bet. You want to come through tonight, or you want to come through Wednesday? The Wednesday is the influencer runs. If I'm not staying, I'll just go to, like, just go watch a pro run or go train or some shit. Something, you know? Then last year, what is it called? We had Jamad?
I do not know Jamad.
You know Jamad? You ever seen? She's, like, super popular. She has, like, a million followers. Like, she's okay. Very, yeah, her. Like, she has a lot of connections, too. So last year we ended up going to the Ethica gym. We ended up training with these NBA trainers there, too. So it's just, like, we go there and we just use our connections and we message the people we know or we've already been in contact with. Like, I've already been twice so far in the past 2 years. I might go in a few weeks. And then I'll just message whoever I know I've met and figure some stuff out, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry. So, So let's get into the how you got like big on Instagram and stuff in general. So you started with I think Glick Shots was the first thing like that made you famous, right? Or am I mistaken?
Yeah.
So how did that come about? Like, how did you just have this idea? Because I mean, I don't think like I definitely wouldn't have thought about stuff like that. Like, that's just very outside the box thinking. Like, how did you think about that?
Yeah, so like the Glitch Shot was like, I was doing that since I was like 12 or 11. I remember I'd just be at the YMCA and I'd be
been
like
doing this.
Yeah, I was like I'm facing the rim, but I'm like super on the right, and I'm like, yo, let me try to shoot it there while shooting straight. Like, it was just weird, you know? And I remember doing that like when I was like 12, 13, telling people to look. Then that video, like, I remember the first video that blew up, the Glitch Shot. I remember like doing the video, then I was looking at it. I don't know if I liked it, and I sent it to my friends. They said they're iffy about it too. Then I ended up just posting on my story, you know? I didn't even want to post it. Then my uncle, he actually seen it, and he's like, yo, are you dumb? Like, yo, post that. That's a sick video. Ended up posting it. I posted it at night. Boom, the next day, all I see is, like a bunch of, like, media outlets, like SportsCenter, House of Highlights, ESPN, Champs Sports, Overtime Canada. What else? There's just, like, over 12, you know? And it was just crazy. It was the first time, like, that ever happened. So, yeah, that was, like, the first time, like, actually getting buzzed. But the week prior, like, that whole 2 weeks, that span of 2 weeks was, like, crazy. Because that week prior, I was on Overtime. That was my first time on Overtime. That gave me, like, 10,000 followers.
Yeah.
So, I'm like, yo, there's, like, you know, there's a thing for this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And how, like, what was that feeling like once you kind of start getting all that recognition and the followers and whatnot? Like, what kind of, how were you feeling in those moments?
Yeah, I have videos. I was, like, getting crazy adrenaline rush. I was just so excited. Yeah, I couldn't speak. I was happy because it was, like, something I was working for, like, since I had started in April. And I was working, that happened in July. You know, I was posting, like, 3 times a week, going consistent. And, like, it was finally happening. I was finally getting love from all these big pages. And, yeah, I was super happy. Every time it happened, like, I was happy, you know?
Yeah, that's cool.
That is really cool. So, do you remember what was the first, like, major social media outlet that posted you? Like, do you remember the first one?
Yeah, it was Slam.
Slam was the
school?
First one.
Slam High School, and it was on my third video. It was like I did like a behind the back bounce type of thing, and it was my third video. Remember, I was at work, and I just see Slam High School post it. I just like I was giving away free food, you know. I was super happy.
Fair enough.
Yeah. That's sick. So, obviously, there's been multiple evolutions of the Glitch Shot. Now you had the first one you're talking about. Now you're doing one where, you're dropping the ball and like hitting it off your elbow.
Yeah, that was like a third one.
Yeah,
now I just like throw it behind my back and I pretend to shoot it for it.
Yeah.
I have like 7, I think, or 8.
Yeah, you have like 8 different. So how do you keep one upping yourself? Like, what's the next thing that's coming?
I remember I used to write every time I'd get an idea, I'd write it in my notes. And like at first it was easy, you know, because one after that, okay, face the other way. Okay, then I got the idea, drop it off my my elbow. And after like the fourth one, after the fifth one, like I did a kicking one. Then afterwards, I did one where I kicked it behind my back. That was like the hardest one, I think.
Yeah.
And I remember I like couldn't think of an idea for like saw 8 months, 9 months of a glitch idea. It's just because, like, what else can you do? You know?
Yeah.
Then there's only so many things you can do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I randomly thought, but I'm like, eventually I'm gonna think of one because you know that happens. Then randomly I thought about the behind the back one. So I'm like, I tried it. I'm like, okay, this is super, like, it was super easy for me. I ended up doing it. I ended up posting it. Like, I think it got on House of Highlights overtime as well. Then, I don't know if you guys seen it last year. I got on SportsCenter.
Yeah.
And I ended up redoing the same video. But now, like, I thought of an idea a few days ago. I think I wrote it down in my notes. But, yeah, like, I just... I'm gonna probably post on it like a few months.
Can we get a sneak peek for the show?
let me think. I actually forgot. I just write in my notes because you know I have to write or I forget.
So was is that one you're talking about? Because I remember I saw this one a few weeks ago. It was I don't know how old it was, but you were pretty far. It was definitely beyond half court, but it was on the left side, I want to say. And you did like a 360 behind the back, and you shot it like all the way half court from the other side, and it went in the hoop. And I was like, "What the hell just happened?" Like, it was crazy.
Was it outside?
No, it was inside. I don't remember what it was, but it was from really far. It was 360 behind the back, threw it up, and then it like cut to slow mo, and then it went in. I was like,
I think you might have done that one at the Carlton gym.
360. Oh, it was like I was going on an angle.
Yeah, that one was wild.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. That one was a tough one.
Yeah.
Because that one, I remember
it was far.
I was trying it for a year and a half ago. So I got that shot in December. But I was trying that shot like a year prior to that. And I'd only be able to try it at Carlton just because like the way the rim is situated and all that. And I remember I'd get so I'd message Carlton. They'd give me like 2 hours, 3 hours free gym time. And I'd go and I'd try to do it. Always hit rim. Another time, rim. 4 months later, I'll get it again, rim. I'm like, yo, I was getting mad, you know? And then every single time, like, it took like 5 sessions.
Yeah.
Until finally get it. Yeah, I got it. I was happy. Yeah. I was with Kilgannon that day. You guys know Jordan Kilgannon?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
He was on the dunk show. Dunking? I forget what it was called. Yeah. I remember him. I used to watch him when I was younger on Instagram.
Yeah, he's a every time he comes to Ottawa, we like always link up. We go to a court. Like, as a solid guy, you know?
Yeah, he's a bouncy guy.
Yeah, very much so, yes.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see how, like, you approach the social media stuff versus other people, because you'll see a lot of guys that it's usually the dunking or it's always the crossovers and stuff, but you're, like, primarily just on the trick shot grind. But people, I feel like a lot of people don't necessarily know that you can really hoop.
Yeah.
Because we matched up with you twice this year.
Yeah, we know.
You can hoop.
We're like, on two. We're on two against. We're on seven, but you know.
Yeah. We don't bring that up, Greg. Yeah, people don't really. I don't know if you get enough credit for your actual ability to hoop.
No, that's the thing. Like, people don't like. I'd always get in the comments, "Yo, this guy probably can't hoop though." That's why, like, recently, I haven't been posting that many trick shots. Like, I'm gonna get back on the trick shot grind in the next 2-3 months for sure. But like recently, I just been posting like basketball videos. Where like, even for the past year, I just been posting basketball clips. Like, you know, me hooping, so people get the idea, and so I could also like build my,
brand.
Yeah, type thing. Like, if I ever want to play, overseas, you know?
Yeah,
because you played in Toronto and, like, I think it's the Bro League?
Brody, yeah.
Yeah, Brody
League.
Yeah. And that's like a true pro-am. And I'm assuming that's where you kind of got the inspiration
for
this league in
Ottawa. Yeah, I was over there, and I'm like, yo, this is amazing, you know? I'm like, why is there none in Ottawa? Then I'm like, okay, why don't I start with that? I think I have, like, the perfect, like, I'm in the perfect situation to start with. You know, with the Moroccan Mamba and all that, and I know a lot of hoopers in Ottawa, so... I just brought it to Ottawa, did my, like, put my own spin with the prizes, with a lot of things, and yeah.
Yeah, man, sick.
That guy that created is a good guy, you know? That's one of my friends, Connor. Mm-hmm. He's 23, 24. This guy has, like, over 100 teams, you know?
Yeah.
The guy really inspires me. Every time I have a question, he shoots me a message. I shoot him a message, all that.
That's cool.
So, we talked a little bit before about the YouTube guys and the YouTube basketball scene. So, I know you're on Instagram and stuff, and you're obviously big on Instagram. Do you ever want to – I think you do have a YouTube channel, too – do you ever want to pursue YouTube full time if maybe basketball doesn't work out and you just do basketball stuff on YouTube? Is that something you would be interested in or no?
Personally, no. Like, YouTube's not my passion. I tried it a few times and it was going good. I remember 2020 summer, I was posting like a video almost every other day, like 20 videos consistently, and I ended up going from like maybe 2,000 followers to 7,000. But I don't think I'd do it, personally. Like, I have other goals, you know?
Yeah.
Fair enough, yeah.
YouTube's fun, but it's tough. Instagram's much easier, you know? And it's more fun for me.
Yeah. So do you have a partnership with Reebok? Because I know, like, for the Mamba League, you had a lot of gifts and prizes from Puma and Reebok. So do you have, like, a ongoing deal with them, or?
No, it's no deal. It's just they're supporting the league. You know, I've worked with them. Reebok, it was actually my first time, like, ever. But I've been, like, in contact with Puma, working with them since, like, 3 years, you know? Like, 2 months into the videos. So... you know, message them. They want to support the league. You know, it's going to be continuous. And yeah.
Cool.
So shout out to them. Under Armour was supposed to get be involved too, but last second they
pulled out.
Yeah, type thing.
Damn. Well, so I was kind of gonna ask the same thing. Like, how did you get all the all that stuff set up? Because I know you had a bunch of those shoes and stuff that you brought for the players during if they got player of the game and stuff like that. So was that also just from the partnership or?
Yeah, I just used my connections. You know, I just emailed them, letting them know like my goals and plans, sent them a deck board, and they decided if they wanted to support or not. And yeah, they did.
Well, that's nice. Cool. That's very nice of them.
Yeah.
They see the vision, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, going into the season 2 of the Mamba Rec League. And for those who don't know, it's a pro-am league. We had a few pros in the league this year, and we had a lot of guys from college. And then
it was terrifying.
We had some guys that were not necessarily basketball players on my roster, but hey.
We had some professional player too in there.
Yeah, Yassin.
On the Heat, yeah.
Yeah, Yassin.
My cousin.
Yeah. Oh, he's your cousin?
Yeah, that's
cousin.
Oh, I did not know that. Really? Because I remember when me and Josh joined the league in the first season originally, we were looking at the rosters and stuff, and because I'm not gonna lie, we were doing some scouting. We were like, okay, we want to see how good the league is. And I was looking at the teams because the old website was up. Maybe from I don't know, is this the first year doing the league or?
Yeah, it was my first time ever.
So there was some people's names on the website originally, but it wasn't their actual teams, but there was names. So I looked at the names. I was doing some googling. Yeah. I was looking for names. I see this guy's name. I'm like, I don't know who he is, but I'm like, he just sounds like he's a hooper. So I Google his name. That was Yassin. I Google his name, and then I see his stats from overseas. I'm like, why the heck is this guy playing in the league? I'm like, what the hell is this?
Ukraine, 17 points, 10
assists. Yeah, I'm like, dude, I saw that. I'm like, Josh, I'm terrified.
I told all my friends, and they're like, Josh, what did you do to me? And I was just like, bro, I should have done research before. I was like, I would have gotten different guys, but it was all good. They all enjoyed it, man. Yeah. They all had a lot of fun.
We had fun. Don't get me wrong.
No, yeah, that was good, you know? That was the main goal. People come here. People go play competitive basketball, feel like they're playing in a pro type of league. And have fun.
Yeah, man. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Well ran as well.
Appreciate it. You know, it was a prototype season, you know?
Yeah.
Learning things as we go. Now it's like.
Season 2 starts September 11th.
Yeah, it's the official, you know, type of. It's going to be at Montpetit, ROU. So that one's going to be proper.
Downtown. So if you guys are interested, sign up. MambaRecLeague.com. It's a fire league. How much time we got, Greg?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. So what's in store for the next season?
Next season?
What's because you always like to one up yourself, so I'm sure this season's going to be bigger and better. I know there's more games.
Yeah, so we're adding more games. We're also so there's going to be 8 games running, but 4 of the 8 games every week are going to be broadcasted. So like the four whole 40 minutes, you know, so people can rewatch the games. We're going to have an all-star game, and we're probably going to host it at a nice gym.
Nice,
you know, at a nice gym, that's all I can say. I just got to set it up first. The finals were actually supposed to be held at TD Place.
Oh, damn.
But I ended up getting it, like, last second type of thing. And I was just like, yeah, there's too much, you know. I need some time to, like, host everything. I was trying to make it into an actual event.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's going to be a big upgrade. It's, like, everything's going to be better, you know, because this season was, like, people had fun. I had fun, you know. There was a few things, like, it was a prototype season. I only had, like, people I knew kind of personally playing. Other than you guys I met first time, you know?
Yeah. But
everyone else was, like, people I've known since I was a kid. So they'll tell me what to improve on. Now we got all the suggestions and everything. Now we're ready, you know, to actually, like, finally start it, like, properly.
Cool.
All right, so we're going to throw it to a break. When we return, we're going to talk about expand a bit more on the Mamba Rec League. And after that, we're going to talk about what's in store for your future and everything like that. So stay tuned, everybody, after these quick few messages.
The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to The Press Box. I'm Greg Avgaropoulos, joined by Josh McGrath-Segan and our guest, Farouk, a.k.a. the Moroccan Mamba. Once again, thank you for joining us. It's very nice of you to help us here and, you know, get us some listeners, hopefully. So we're going to start off here in this segment with your future. So do you see yourself here being an Instagram influencer, like sports, I guess, influencer or no? What would you describe yourself as?
Yeah, basically, like a basketball, like, influencer, you know?
Yeah, I get that.
Okay, people ask me what I do. I just say, make videos on Instagram. I make basketball videos.
Yeah, fair enough. So is that something that you think you're going to do in the future? Or as you said, I know you said you want to try to play professional basketball. If that doesn't work out, do you think you're going to ever expand from Instagram to, like, what else? TikTok, YouTube? Like, I know you said no YouTube, but anything else? Like, do you think this is going to be your backup plan just in case you don't make it big, you're in any basketball league?
Yeah, so Instagram is, like, that's, like, my brand, you know? So whatever I start in the future, I'm always going to use my Instagram to, like, like even with this league, I was using my Instagram, posting about it, you know, like advertising, marketing on my Instagram. So this Instagram is always going to be there as like, you know, for whatever I do, because I want to like start more basketball businesses, more things around the city. And like for that, I'm also going to have to like, I haven't been posting this past like 2022, but I'm going to restart just so I could keep getting the buzz, you know, and all that. So, but yeah, I'm going to keep it, keep going. And yeah, I wanted to say something, but I forgot.
So do you think you're ever going to start your own like club team, kind of give back to the community, like a Mamba club team? Because I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. Eventually, yeah, yeah, for sure, yeah.
That'd be sick. That'd be a fun team.
Do you think you're ever going to, rephrase. Do you think, like, do you have anything coming up that you want to share with anybody, or like any other big things going on, like any collabs with any other people or any other influencers or anything else planned that you can talk about?
So I legit got an idea yesterday, and like I'm probably gonna work on it. So I might as well share it with you guys. So I'm thinking of doing like a 3-on-3 tournament type of thing.
Okay.
But you know how people usually do it like one day? I'm gonna do like a whole like 8-week type of 10-week season 3-on-3 tournament.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. So it's basically cool. I'll have different divisions with different like skill levels. So maybe like a under 20, under 25, over 25, and basically where it's like it'd be like, I haven't figured out anything. This is just like, you know, what I got yesterday thinking. It was like 3 to 6 people on a team. You play 3-on-3 against the other people. Like, I'd provide jersey and all that. I'd make it professional. And also, like, it'd be an entry fee per team, maybe like 1,000. But also at the end of the season, like 10 weeks, the grand prize would be, I think, like 10,000, 5,000, something like that. So, and like running that throughout the whole year, every like 3 months. I think that'd be fun, sick. You know, that'd be like, there's some competitive 3-on-3 tournaments in like France, like might as well bring one here, and like it'd be fun, you know.
We have the Red Bull one that pulls through every now and then.
Yeah,
they stop by here, so that'd definitely be fun, because I'm a big fan of playing 3-on-3. It's just more technical, I find, than a little like in 5-on-5 per se.
You have more chances, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah, it's just here. It's a lot more fun. Would it be like FIBA style 3-on-3 where it's like continuous, like you can score a team just like right out clears?
Or no idea. Haven't thought about rules, anything. This just like legit got this idea yesterday, you know. Yeah, and I wrote it down, and like I'm trying to figure it out, but yeah, I have to do some research. But yeah, like, you know, a 3-on-3 tournament, it would be like a 10-week season, like 7 games minimum, then playoffs. But like first place gets like a crazy amount of money, you know, like you register for like $300 each. At the end, you can win like $4,000 each, $3,000. Yeah, so crazy. Yeah, something like that, you know, that's the goal. Like me personally, everything I try to do or start, I always want to like, I want to like make it super big, or yeah, else there's no point of like doing it at all personally. So like, you know, I have to think about it, and yeah, hopefully by next year, like April, that'd be cool, type thing, start it.
So can you talk to us a little bit about, talked about this a little bit last segment, but can you talk to us about how difficult is it to actually run your own league and get all this stuff organized? Because I bet it's hard to correspond with, you know, people's schedules. Like I know Josh, we had an issue with that because you had work on Sundays and stuff. So how difficult is that to deal with all these people and then just making sure you can provide the best product that you can?
Yeah, so running the league is like, so it looked easier before I started.
Fair.
Like it seemed easier, you know. I was just like, okay, get a bunch of teams, get some jerseys, and that's it. But then a lot of different things, like, you know, you have to like consider, like, you know, refs, scoreboard. Okay, what if like a situation happens? You know, so I was learning on the fly sometimes, you know, but like I liked it because now I know what to do. I set up rules and everything. So yeah, it was a bit tougher, but it was super fun. But also like, yeah, so this season was basically just a learning thing. And like Sundays, me, I'm like, okay, Sunday's perfect day. I didn't even think about the time. I'm like, okay, yo, morning, anything, you know. And after, a lot of people were telling me, yeah, I have church. I've completely forgot about that. People tell me I have work. So like next season is going to be in the evening, you know, so we adjusted that. Evening should be better, you know, for people. People have churches in the morning, like till like 2 or 3, I'm assuming. Yeah, most people are going to show up. Also, like one thing, I don't know if you guys noticed, it was with you guys as well. It was like you guys had like only like 7 in the beginning of the season, or even the whole season, 7.
Yeah.
And like,
it was mostly 5.
Yeah. Most games. And realistically, there's always going to be people missing. So one thing I learned from that is to have 8-9 people minimum type of thing. So it's going to be 8 to 9.
Yeah.
Some teams have 10, but yeah, it's going to be 8-9 people minimum. It's because there's only going to be one time where there's like everyone there. That's most likely the first week. Other than that, there's going to be 1, 2, 3 people missing.
Yeah.
And just so it doesn't get boring, because when there's 5, you get gassed. And like, yeah, I need subs, you know, personally.
Very easily, yes.
Oh, me too. Yeah. I'm so out of shape.
We all do.
Yeah.
It didn't go well at all. No. As you know, 0-7 didn't go well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're learning now.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, Monday mornings, me and Greg always come to class the next day and just be, like, stiff.
Oh, yeah, we're like, waddling into class. It's hard.
Everyone's looking at us all weird and stuff. We're like, yeah, we played, like, 40 minutes yesterday, guys. Like, we're dying out here.
They're like, oh, what happened? We're like, I just got our asses kicked.
Yeah, we just got whooped.
So, yeah, now it's, like, nine people, a minimum, nine. Just so, like, there's subs and, like, people don't get too tired. Because I understand people want to play, but also, like, you got to be realistic, you know? Yeah. If you're five on a team, like, no way, like,
yeah, you're down.
All five are coming every week. You know, that's very unlikely.
Yeah, that's why I keep telling Andrew when we're making our team. I'm like, let's sign up when we have like guaranteed seven. Because I was like, if we have seven, it's going to be easy to find like an eighth guy at that point. But I was like, if we only have two guys trying to sign up as a full roster, I'm like, it's going to be tough, bro. We're going to be getting like a bunch of free agents. I'm like, we want to know people that like we play with.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
Like, we know how they play and stuff. So.
So far, the free agents team is basically like we have one team full of free agents. Damn. So it's all the free agents, and I think that makes more sense.
Yeah,
and like also if a team only has seven, we're gonna add like someone like because Otto is small, so you probably recognize some people.
Yeah,
you know, and me, I recognize a lot of like basically all the names. And I'll ask the people, do you need a big, a small guy, this, put them, you know.
Yeah.
So, going off of that, are you all the guys in the league? Or do you know all of them personally? Obviously, besides us, because you just met us like when the league started. Are most of them, you know them and you're related to them, or are they like fans of you on Instagram and they know who you are? Like, do you know most of the people in the league or no?
Yeah, so basically the first season, like you guys played at, it's like I'll at least know like 3-4 people on the team, you know? I'll know the team captains for sure.
Yeah.
The other people, like I've probably seen them around. Like the St. Luke's team, I know everyone there because I grew up playing in St. Luke's and the YMCA. The Memphis team, I know everyone there. My team, I know everyone. The Lakers team, I know everyone. So, yeah, basically almost every team, I knew everyone. Because,
yeah.
When I first started the league, when I was starting and planning it, I was just reaching out to my friends. I didn't want to make any announcements. I wanted to keep it, like, type of a surprise. Then I ended up only having, like, seven teams, I think, at the end. I couldn't find the eighth one. I actually had an eighth one. I had an eighth one. But the guy was just, like, he's being very lofty. He was taking a while to, like, you know, reserve a spot. So, me, I'm like, yeah, I can't rely on this guy. Like, it's a business. You know, at the end of the day, he's going to mess it up. If I only have seven, it doesn't make sense. So I put it on my story. I put it on my story. Then you guys messaged me. I'm like, okay, yeah, if you guys could, like, give the deposit by today. Everyone sent it. I told the other guy. I sent him back, like, half the money he sent me. I'm like, yo. I sent him back, like, the deposit he sent me. I'm like, some guys already took it here. Boom. You guys are the first people, like, you know, that I haven't met yet that are playing. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because how I got in was Andrew. He messaged me, and he's like, yo, there's a league in Ottawa. It looks really good. Like, reach out. So I saw your story because I was following you and I was like, okay, looking at it, I was like, okay, let's see if I can get a squad together and whatnot, because Andrew was already on a different team at that point. So I was like, I had to go deep in my bag to find people that like want to play.
Yeah.
So I messaged all my friends and they're like, I had seven guys, but then Dondre got hurt. My older brother kept flaking out. And then, yeah, at that point it was just the five of us.
But I appreciate everyone that joined. I appreciate you guys joining because also like, I didn't even give too much info.
Yeah.
I didn't want to give too much info, you know? I legit just said, okay, yeah, it's going to be this, that's it. Like, I didn't, like, give out the plan I had where, like, it's going to be this. Like, were you guys surprised? Or, like, did you guys, like...
No, I was definitely... I was surprised when...
I don't think we really knew what to expect.
I kept that mystery, you know? So that's why I really respect everyone
that joined.
The
only thing we knew is that we were probably going to lose every game.
Yeah.
Me and Greg had the expectation going into the season. So.
I remember the car ride we had going to the game the first time. We're like, we were mentally preparing ourselves. Like, all right, Josh, we might get killed, but... We'll just try to have fun.
Yeah.
You guys almost won, though. It was almost beautiful.
First two games.
So close.
You almost won.
Then went down.
And
then
you killed it, huh, with the shots?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I was up there.
Yeah.
That was a fun game.
There was,
Speaking of that, we got to talk about that after.
Yeah, we'll talk
about it. Memorable, yeah.
But yeah, no. Overall, though, man, yeah, the league was so much fun to play in. And I'm excited.
Fun.
I'm excited for season two.
I appreciate you guys joining, too, because I didn't even give out too much info. And also, like compared to different leagues in Ottawa, like, the price that I was, like, asking for was, like, it's not normal in Ottawa, you know?
Yeah.
Like, usually people ask for team fee.
Yeah,
I'm doing something different. I want to do individual. Also, the reason I didn't want to do team fee, because imagine you guys, like, joined, let's say, for an example, you guys joined as a team, and then, like, two people are missing. You already paid as a team, so you're just going to bring two random guys.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want that. Like, personally, I want everything, like, organized. It's like, you paid, you registered. You guys are playing. No one else can join. Like, it's secluded. Like, you know, you can't join.
No,
you
have to
wait.
That makes a ton of sense. But, yeah, no, like...
It's not fair.
We are looking for... Like, I've been looking for a league for a hot minute now. And the only other leagues in Ottawa are, like, the RA League. That's about the only one that's really competing with you besides Algonquin. So we have, like literally three men's basketball.
How is that league? Because the one of the refs played it. I think, the ref plays in it. He tells me he doesn't enjoy it.
I've never played in it.
Oh, you haven't played
it? I haven't played in it. I just always see it. And it's always like when I Google like Ottawa Men's Basketball League. Yeah. It's really the only one that consistently pops up. So it's like, this is nice to have an alternative now that seems like it's just kept at a better quality of league. Mm. So it's nice.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously we had a lot of fun. It didn't go well for us, but, you know, we had fun every week. We're looking forward to it. It was, I mean, even if we're not playing well, you know, it's just kind of a laugh in the end. It's like, you know, just kind of fun. Just like be, you know, we're not really doing great, but, you know, at least we're having fun with everybody. And everybody's, I mean, with some people, not everybody. But besides that. So are how excited are you for this next season? Because obviously it's going to be bigger. It's going to be better. It's going to be a lot more people. And are you, so I know you said on your story maybe that I think 70% maybe are full of the team. So how many, is there more people applying now quicker than last season because there's more details now or?
Yeah, so I think I'm excited for the next season, you know, because it's finally like we're like more organized. Like it's just like we have everything, like we know what we're going to do. And yeah, so basically we have like 16 teams that we're planning to have. And right now we have 11 signed up. And we're planning to have a 12th by today, like from, so it's like, I don't know, 75%, 70%. And yeah, so we're excited for that. You know, it's going to be fun. And yeah, like the word's getting out faster, you know, especially like with people, like what they've seen. Throughout the whole the season, people were messaging me, asking me if they could join, didn't join. I told them it's closed, you know? Yeah. You can't allow them. You know, you got to make it seem like, oh, it's like, yeah. Also, I don't want people joining halfway into the season. Yeah. So yeah, it was like the registrations were closed. And like as soon as I opened them up, people wanted to play. People were signing up.
Floodgates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, like one thing I know is like people say they want to play, but then it comes time, people don't want to pay. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, so far it's going well. We opened registration like I think past week, 1 week, like 9 days now. Mm-hmm. Also, we gave a bonus for people that registered was like names on the back if you registered by a certain date, which is tonight, basically.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's sick. I'm looking forward to it, man. Very much looking forward to it.
You're looking forward to it?
Yeah. You're playing.
I'm playing? Is this confirmed now?
I'm dragging you out.
we
you can record the football games, bro.
Josh, we haven't. Josh, I gotta watch football on Sundays, dude.
I'm only gonna let you skip a game if it's a Bills game. How about that?
We'll see.
Oh, Sunday night football game?
Yeah, bro.
Damn, dude, I'm messing up everyone's schedule now.
No, no, no. See, but this guy is just picky on Sundays. He doesn't move from his chair.
I'm basically a psychopath on Sundays.
I'll try to get Saturday for you, man.
No, we can do that, I'm down.
Now Saturday night, that's when people want to party. I don't think I'll ever do Friday night and Saturday night.
Yeah,
I'm like, I understand people are partying.
Yeah, people like to go out. Yeah, like
so that's what I'll do, like a Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday, Monday. But like it's Friday, Saturday, I can't do that.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Even Sundays, people would come like telling me like, oh, they drink too much type thing. Like
we had that a few times. Yeah,
like now it's evening, you know. Now it's evening, so you better like recover by then.
Shayon happened to us one day.
It happened many times.
That was a good time.
Oh yeah, my boy, the guy I put on your team was telling me, he's like, yeah, the two guys were like, ah, we're not feeling it today.
Bro, me and Shayon, the night before it was Dondre's birthday. I mean, we just stayed up like till 4 a.m. just drinking. I passed out on this couch and then I like, woke up at 8 a.m. and was like, yo, I have to go downtown almost to Rito, play a game, and then go to work right after. I was dead that day.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a tough day. Dying.
It was a tough day.
I would have just missed out.
No. I can't do that again, bro. I already missed two games. Can't miss another one.
For it. It's always, yeah, exactly. There's no reason to lose games. Yeah. Or miss games. Lose games, too. But, you know. So that's been our show for this week. Thank you, Farouk, for joining us. Anything else you want to add before we leave?
No, I just appreciate you guys for having me. You know, this was fun. I like talking. I like speaking, you know?
Yes, sir. Hey, if you want to come back anytime, you know, you're welcome.
For sure, hit me up. Me, I'm always down, you know? If I have time, I got you guys.
Yes, sir. But this has been The Press Box with Greg Avgaropoulos, Josh McGrath-Sagan, and the Moroccan Mamba, otherwise known as Farouk. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.